Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
All right, welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. We're back here at the Houston Stock Show, and with me, I have Carrie Crow from Transova and Rachel Couturier. So thank you guys for joining me. It's great to have you on again, Carrie and Rachel. I'm glad this worked out that we got to do this. So we already know Carrie. You don't have to introduce yourself again. But Rachel, why don't you introduce yourself and tell our listeners about you and your family and your operation?
Sure. So I'm Rachel Couturier. I'm a Brahman cattle breeder from the Gulf Coast of Texas. My husband and I are partners in BRC Ranch. BRC stands for Brandon and Rachel Couturier. We started that operation a couple years ago with my two daughters, Molly and Annie. And so that's probably our first love we have in business. But we have a lot of other businesses. We do Brahman Country Genetics, which is our semen and embryo part of our business. We also have Brahman Country Beef, which is our branded beef program, which is 100% Brahman beef. And then I founded Ranch House Designs back in the late 90s when I was in college. And so that's a agriculture marketing and web design firm. I get to work with a lot of ranchers there. And so we're opening a beef store this summer, a little beef boutique in our hometown to sell our beef. And so we are involved in a lot of things in agriculture, and we just love every minute of it and love the opportunities.
Yeah. Rachel, I've always, admired your entrepreneurial spirit. And I can't even imagine as a college kid thinking about setting up a business of my own. What was going through your mind, I guess, as you were in school there to say, hey, I'm going to start a business?
So this would have been back in 1999, which when did you graduate from K-State?
I would have been 96.
Okay. 97. So at A&M at that time as a student, the computer labs were these Tandy computers that didn't even have color screen. It was like black with the green letters. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, just getting email was amazing, and you couldn't even get graphics on your email. And so web design was like not a thing at all. It was just print magazines and that's it. And so I worked for the Extension Service for Larry Bowman and John McNeil. And they were very visionary in getting the information out for Extension, you know, how-to guides and that sort of stuff. And they were doing all their work in printed materials and mailing things out. And Dr. McNeil said, well, we need to figure out what this website stuff is, and we need to get all of our Extension publications on a website. And so he said, you need to figure that out. And I was like, what? So he gave me some money, and he told me to go down to the bookstore at A&M, and I bought Web Design for Dummies, literally.
No kidding.
Like the how-to dummies guide. And I just started it there for the job of getting those Extension publications online. And then after I started doing that and it worked, I was like, hey, you know, we could promote our cattle this way too. And so I just did a website for my grandfather for his ranch. He didn't even know about it, just did it.
Undercover.
And, yeah. And he was having a big sale right around that time. And I scanned in all the pictures of the offering and typed it in, you know, because again, graphics were not cool. That it was basically a picture with a caption and a solid white background on a website. And people started showing up at the ranch with this printout that they had seen the sale catalog from the website, but he hadn't even printed the actual catalog yet. It was from this website.
Yeah.
And he really freaked out on me, honestly, because he was like, what did you put online? Like, he was afraid people could get his banking information online. But, you know, that was when I knew that this was going to be a thing. And so I was lucky because I was one of the first people that did it, you know. And then it was really word of mouth and friendship. So I think one of the second websites I did was for Barbara Herford Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been friends with Jason and Justin from Showing. They had done the same thing. And they were like, hey, can you do a website for us? You know, Purple Rain out of Illinois, the Mullinexes, they were one of my first customers. Jeff Agater, like WHR Shorthorns. I got real involved in the show cattle world. I used to do like Brian Martin, Bobby Maddox, all of their websites.
Yeah.
And and then just caught on, you know, and then websites became a thing. And now we do 800 websites for not just ranches, but businesses all over the world.
Yeah.
And I was just lucky to be an early adapter of it and mm-hmm. be creative. And then that expanded Ranch House Designs to what it is now.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So from those early experiences, I guess, how do you use some of what you learned in developing Ranch House to mm-hmm. apply to the operation side of things with the cattle? Is there some things that have crossed over that you use?
Oh, definitely. You know, when the website kind of came on the scene, everybody wanted a website, you know, and then there was like the question of, well, if you have a website, do you still need to advertise, you know, in print magazines? And then social media came on the scene. And then the question became, well, if you have a Facebook page, do you even still need a website? Do you even still need to advertise, you know? So that's kind of like the questions I get a lot, but I think you need all three mm-hmm. and you need more. You know, yeah. you can't just do those three, yep. you need more. I try to look to mainstream marketing strategies and techniques. So I don't really look at what the cattle industry is doing. I try to look at like, what is Verizon doing? You know, what is Ford doing? Yep. Like one campaign I really liked this year was when Jeep reintroduced the Wagoneer. Y'all mm-hmm. know that?
I haven't seen it yet.
No. Okay, so you know the Wagoneer was like that old Jeep that people did in the 80s, and now they brought it back, yeah, and it's yeah. redefined as like luxury and all this kind of yep. stuff. And that was a cool one that I just kind of like to look at and try to follow the, you know, the trends at a big level of marketing and then apply those back to the cattle industry. I think yep. that's probably what gives Ranch House an edge, is because we have always been early adopters of things mm-hmm. and kind of out front, and then maybe people get ideas from us and use mm-hmm. them, you know?
Yeah, yep.
Just always thinking of different.
Yeah.
The new different thing I did at this show was I had this idea right before Cattlemen's Congress to put QR codes on our in panel signs at mm-hmm. the,
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, hey, this is cool because maybe like a, just a random person walking through the aisles at the rodeo, they might not pick up a brochure, but they would scan our QR code because everybody does that now,
yes,
you know?
Yep.
And I've been amazed at the number of scans it gets. I mean, it's several hundred a day. I track the, mm-hmm. and as, I don't know if it's actually converting to customers yet, but people are definitely scanning it. The mm-hmm. passersby, you know.
Well, you get their information to get on your mailing yeah. list, which is huge. And then
right.
you can serve them with more mm-hmm. information. And then hopefully it turns into a customer down
right.
the road.
And so. Even if it doesn't, what I was thinking is like here at like Rodeo Houston, if it's a person that doesn't really know about the agriculture life and they can scan that QR code and even just spend 1 minute looking at my website, they can mm-hmm. get a feel for what ranchers do.
Yes.
You know, and make that connection. So
yep.
I kind of hope it's more city people who are scanning it.
Yeah.
So they can learn more.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that's a hot topic right now is ranchers and farmers have to tell their story because mm-hmm. people are so far removed from agriculture now that they have no idea how their food is produced. And anything we can do to get them back in the loop of knowing how that happens, I think, is extremely important. So.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was cool, so your field day last fall mm-hmm. that we participated in.
Yeah.
And maybe you can expand on more because you have the behind the scenes details, but you had an evening event mm-hmm. for the field day and had a band there and everything and invited people, non-cattle people mm-hmm. to
yes.
it.
So it's kind of the concept of a farm to table dinner, and we have had two so far, one in the spring and one in the fall, but we call it an evening at the ranch. So at our field day in the morning and the afternoon, we had hands-on demonstrations for ranchers, but then in the evening, we sold tickets to the evening at the ranch, and anybody could come out mm-hmm. there, and we serve our beef. We had a nice dinner out there. I think we had a barbecue dinner,
yes.
and then we had a band called the Spasmatics. They're like this awesome 80s cover band. I mean, so very non-traditional.
Yeah,
no, it's not country music. And we sold over 150 tickets
wow.
to that event. It's $100 a ticket, so it's a, you know, fairly good investment. And mm-hmm. we see people coming out from Houston area, Austin, Dallas area, and they just love being out at the ranch. They mm-hmm. I mean, they just like being out there, the outdoors, seeing the cattle and hopefully eating beef, you know,
yeah.
and learning more about beef. And we feel lucky because we have God has blessed us with a lot, but we feel like it's our job to share that with others, you know, mm-hmm. and not be private. And I know some ranch owners and landowners do want to be private, and I totally get that, but we just feel like this is our property, but it's an open door for mm-hmm. anybody in our community. And if they just want to come sit out at our barn and read a book and sit in the sunshine, fine with me. Mm-hmm. Come on out, you know,
yeah.
just enjoy it. Because mm-hmm. I know we enjoy it so much, and I'm sure others do too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, too, to your point of like, you know, farmers are private, even just having a social media page. I like following you guys on Instagram. You guys post a lot of fun pictures, but also it's giving insight into your business and mm-hmm. kind of how you make your living in this world that we live in of, you know, it's not just about raising cattle and then butchering them. Like there's a lot of interactions, relationship building, even, you know, mm-hmm. internationally too.
Mm-hmm. We have a little Facebook forum in our community. I'm sure every town has them, but it's called like Wharton, Texas Chat. And someone posted in there that they had a 3-year-old son that wanted to see a cow for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And where could they go? They were actually from the Rosenberg area. And I was really proud because like 20 people commented, Rachel Cotrera. And I was like, definitely come out here. And so they were a family of 9. They had 9 kids. They were all homeschooled.
Wow.
They came out in a van, but they had the little boy's birthday out there. I mean, it was just amazing. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes in the show world, we can get wrapped up in who's winning shows or who's judging shows mm-hmm. or anything like that. But really, if we can get back to that grassroots level of serving our community, I think that's really important too.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. Well, we're here at the Houston Stock Show, which is awesome. And as yesterday, I was kind of in the barns and taking in everything that was going on. Remembering last year we weren't here and we were in Waco. Not that Waco was a bad deal, but it wasn't Houston. And from a standpoint of being a Brahman breeder, like I view this as kind of a pinnacle opportunity and big things happen here, big opportunities open up. Can you tell us a little bit about what Houston means to you and your operation and any historical things and what's going on now?
Oh, definitely. This morning, Keaton Dodd and I were walking in and we were out there on kind of the perimeter between tieouts walking in, and he just said, man, this feels so good. This feels right. This feels like this is the right place. And Houston is, to the Brahman world, it's everything. I mean, it is our major economic event of the year for our business, for our ranch business. And not just so much the deals that we do here, but how that carries over in the next few months. I mean, I'll be getting orders still several months into the summer of people saying, I saw your cattle at Houston and things like that, you know. So we really appreciate it. Brandon, my husband, is the judge this year, so we weren't able to exhibit our cattle. So we made a push to try to invite people out to the ranch. And we've had over 250 people in the last 2 days.
Wow.
I think it's been like 6 or 7 countries. Thailand, Guatemala, Panama, Mexico, Costa Rica,
not Australia.
I haven't seen any Australians here. I think their quarantine is still a little tight. Mm-hmm. But we have had just Colombian. We had a large group of Colombians. And every time when all the people would get there, it was like just a reunion, mm-hmm. you know, like just hugging and just so happy to see each other because these people are international breeders. We don't see them too often, but they are very close friends with all of us. And we stay in touch over WhatsApp or Facebook and stuff like that. And just to get to see everybody face to face. Again, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
Cool. What's your take on where the Brahman breed is going or where it needs to go? I like trying to get that spin from different folks, you know, because everybody's got like a little different idea where they think
question.
It needs. It's not a trick question. I just want to know.
Well, my opinion may be totally different than everybody else's, but my personal opinion is that Brahman is at somewhat of a significant crossroad right now because we need to decide, you know, whether we're going to stick with our roots of those solid attributes of Brahmins or whether we're just going to go straight show. And I think people have different opinions and people have valid opinions for doing each of those, you know, reasons. I love showing. Brandon and I have been the breeder of, I think, 6 of the last Houston champion females in the last 10 years. So I'm not bashing on shows because we like good cattle and I want to win if I go to a show. But to me, that's just kind of like a side, one niche of Brahman. And the Brahman breed has got to remember its roots of why Brahman even was developed, which is number one, heat tolerance. Mm-hmm. When you think of the things like global warming and the changing environment at a global level, to me, Brahman is nature's answer to that. Maybe not purebred Brahman. I mean, some places purebred Brahman, but at a bigger level, crossbreeding with Brahman to some degree, even if it's 3/8 Brahman, you know, you've got to have that. And so that's the basis. And then the second component to that is the beef quality of Brahman, which don't laugh, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, beef quality of Brahman, what? We have been really working in the last 10 years to improve our marbling and tenderness of Brahman, which we have our Brahman beef program. And I think when you take the factor of the heat tolerance and the beef production traits that Brahman offers, and then you can add in beef quality, where Brahman could consistently produce choice or higher, again, at a global level, that's like a game changer for the world beef production. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see the future of Brahman going. Mm-hmm. ABC News did a little article, a little segment. Did you see that?
No.
So it was about 2 weeks ago. ABC News Evening News did a feature on this new concept of crossbreeding different breeds of cattle.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, okay, we've been doing this for quite a while, but still, I was really glad to see it. Yeah. But the article was talking about how crossbreeding Hereford and Brahman cattle in states like Arizona or California could be the solution to drought problems, you know, heat problems, climate change, environment, wow, all of that. And well, when it came out, all these people started texting me. And my favorite was Shane Bedwell of the Hereford Association. Yeah. He's like, did you see this? I'm like, I saw it and I am ready.
We're
I was like, this is our moment. And I watched our website analytics and they just started going through the roof. I mean, it was just this huge spike that night, because that tells me that even though we know that crossbreeding is important, mm-hmm, there's a lot of people that don't, and they still want that information. So we've got to get it out there and tell people how all of our different breeds can work together.
Mm-hmm. I do think we have a story that we're not telling probably to the public as loud as we could, that if we do this cattle thing right, it's going to be a game changer for our world in terms of maintaining some... You know, like I even think sometimes we as Americans think that our high-performing genetics are the best for everywhere. And they may mm-hmm. not be the best in certain environments, but a component of them crossed with some native breeds mm-hmm. could really change the livelihood of people in some of these areas of the world.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yep. I just did our first shipment to Pakistan mm-hmm. of live cattle. And it took a lot of time to do it, you know, the red tape of getting the approvals and everything. Mm-hmm. But then when they arrived, it was 5 head, 3 heifers and 2 bulls. Just the sheer excitement that that government had when they received those cattle, it literally is going to change their country. You know, mm-hmm. And we take it for granted, but this is the most beef focused cattle that they've had. I mean, with the most sheer muscle or mm-hmm. things like that. And we're like, oh, muscle, everybody has that, but everybody doesn't have that,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And when they were buying the cattle, they were literally like, I want the cattle with the most muscle in the round so they can produce the most beef. I mean, and there's still a lot of untapped areas out there that need the good cattle and the good genetics and the technology.
Yeah, definitely. So to build off of that, maybe you could talk about how you got started with Transova and how you guys utilize our services to meet those goals of what you were talking about.
So Transova to us is like huge. Yeah, I mean, you guys are the best. And we've always done embryo transfer. I mean, we've been involved in doing embryo transfer maybe 20 plus, 25 years. How long has it been around, like conventional?
Since the late 70s is when it kind of started. So over 40 years.
I know the first embryo transfer calf that I ever showed would have won the Houston Livestock Show in 1990. Mm. And she was an embryo calf. You know, and there was 3 embryo calves of that mating, and all 2 bulls and 1 heifer, and each won the national champion of their, you know, different years. Yeah. And then she was the national champion and then won Houston here in 91. And she was the first knowledge I ever knew of embryo transfer, you know, and so that was a long time ago. And so for many years, we were using conventional flushing and we liked it, you know, but I felt like I, as a breeder, needed to learn more about the technologies y'all offer and how we could implement that in the ranch. And so we went to Transova, and for us, it started a lot with education, y'all educating us, you know, like you telling us what we needed to do, how to make timelines, how to, you know, what to do with our recips herd, because we were a blank slate. And so Transova really helped us in that regard. And we were a little nervous about, like, is IVF good or bad? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we had a lot of questions mm-hmm. about that because yeah. we care about our cattle's reproductive health. And Transova has really guided us through that to make sure that we can preserve the longevity of our cow herd and treat our cows right and, you know, do right in that area. I mean, so they're like our literally our right-hand man, you know, for our entire reproductive program. And then even now as our business has expanded into selling embryos, again, y'all are our go-to. You know, like, I don't know what you need to do to sell embryos to Thailand, but you guys do. And so I can call my Transova rep and say, I've got like an inquiry from this area. What do I need to do? And our rep advises us and helps us. And so we just have a really strong trusted relationship with Transova, and we know that when they're giving us advice, it's based on sound, not just sound science, but also practical application, because you guys care about the cattle, and that's why we like to use Transova. And I would also add, that's a lot of things, right? Y'all are so organized. And so I'm like an organized person. I like to keep up with everything on spreadsheets, and I love the My Transova system. So I just love how I can log in there and I can see what I have. It's always up to date, and it just really helps us. We have a lot of businesses, we have a lot of moving parts, mm-hmm. and working with y'all is just easy. You know, y'all keep us on track.
Yeah. 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 Well, we're glad to hear that you like the My Transova app, because I know a lot of people do, and we're actually, they're the first to know that they are adding to that to make it even better.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys keep it all organized, so organized, because I can't keep up with my own inventory.
You know? It's a lot of moving parts. It takes a good team. Yeah. I guess, you know, maybe talk a little bit about how IVF has just elevated your operation even more. I mean, maybe expand on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So IVF has really allowed us to take it to the next level, mm-hmm. especially, I would say, especially in our show program, but even in our sales, because we have a big demand for our genetics. And I mean, you can only produce so many calves a year to fill that demand, you know, and we're lucky that we have probably 5 or 6 of the most famous Brahmin females in the world. And so everybody who comes to a BRC, they're like, well, I want a calf out of Boom Shakalaka, or I want a calf out of Sweetie, you know. And that's not just at the USA level, but I mean, there's probably breeders from 20 different countries asking me for that. So how do I fill that need, you know? And that's where Transova really comes in. And so it allows us to take our best cows, made them with various sires to fit different environments, you know, because my customer in Thailand, they may want a large frame, dark pigmented animal, but my customer in Paraguay wants a moderate framed, solid white animal. But I can do that by working with y'all, because I just use my same donors and different sires, and I can, I guess, plan the matings for what each country needs and what each customer wants. And then I can fill those orders. So it's again, just a tremendous opportunity for us. Without y'all, we wouldn't have the opportunity to do that.
So, you know, it sounds like you take full advantage of the full toolbox, which we love, and it's obviously worked into your advantage. What advice would you give to somebody, a new breeder, somebody wanting to break into this embryo program idea? What advice would you give them?
So if the advice I would give to a new breeder, it would be, I would say, a combination of maybe, well, first I would say, take it slow and focus on the good genetics. I do worry that there's a trend out there that, you know, you can flush animals earlier in life, and you could buy an animal and flush her at what, how old?
No, we've done some 10-month-old Brahmin heifers
before. 10-month-old. I mean, and I don't particularly do that, but if you do, that's great. But I worry that breeders can get a little, if they do that to a 10-month-old calf, and then when that calf is 10-month-old and that calf is 10-month-old, you could go for a long time without actually seeing the actual production of, you know, how's that udder going to be on the cow, or are they going to be high birth weight, low birth weight, you know, like, so maybe do your work intentionally, you know, and think through what you want to do and do your research. And then work with a provider that you trust, and work with a provider that is going to listen to your goals and give you advice, because everybody is different. You know, everybody has different goals and everything. And so just focusing on the good genetics, but proven genetics, and then make a plan. You know, yes. And I would also add, embryo transfer can be expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a big investment. and sit down with, you know, whether someone it's at Transova who can help map it out or another trusted advisor, but like, what is going to be your plan for buying recips or, you know, what semen you're going to use and the timing, and are you going to put in fresh and frozen so that they can help guide you to get the best possible experience out of that investment.
Yep.
Well, anything else that we didn't cover that you feel like is significant and important before we wrap up, Rachel?
I love Transova. Sarah Kober is really cool.
I know. She was so disappointed that she wasn't going to be here for this. So we'll have to have you on again with Sarah and I, and we'll chat more. So, well, this has been great. This has been awesome. Thank you so much. A lot of good information. Thank you, Carrie, for being my co-host today.
For sure.
Yeah, again, we really appreciate your business, Rachel, and everything that you do for us. So, yes, if you don't follow Rachel and BRC on Instagram or Facebook, do that because they're fun to follow. And I think we'll just wrap up here. So we will catch you guys next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.